Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 tonight. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at three healings that Jesus did. And really ending up with the phrase that he healed all the sick. He healed all of them. That's so great. Our Savior, he came to touch and to heal and to bless. And so the title of this chapter is actually Christ Heals the Sick. And that'll probably be in, if you have a study Bible, in some shape or form in your title. And so let's begin now reading in chapter 8, verse 1, about the leper that was healed. Now, leprosy was actually like cancer in those days, where it would cause death many times. The people actually would become numb, and they would hit their fingers and things against things and not know it because they couldn't feel it. And then slowly but surely, you know, their skin would rot away and so forth. It was a really terrible, horrible disease and very contagious. And so the lepers that were like downtown or something, people would throw rocks at them, say, get away from us, get away from us. And they even made leper colonies. I don't know if you know about the leper colony on Hawaii, one of the islands near Maui. I forget the name of it. What's the name of that island? Molokai? Molokai. A father went there, a Catholic priest, and actually gave his life for those people in the leper colony. God bless him. God bless him. Folks that say that there's no saved Catholics, I just don't believe it. There's so many sweet Christians out there of every brand and whatever. But this neat father who knew the Lord deeply, he just went there and served those people, and he finally died of the disease himself. And they just love him over there on the islands. He came to save the be with their lepers, you know, and pray for them. But anyway, let's read about this leper in the Old Testament. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, that is the mountain where he taught the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. That is Jesus. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this is a very tremendous statement in the Bible to clear us up on healing and some of the false doctrine that's out about healing. There's groups of folks that actually believe that you shouldn't ever pray for God's will. They actually teach that. You should never say, if it's God's will, heal me, Lord. But you have to command the healing. And you can name that healing and claim it. And God will do it. And if you back off on your words about it by saying your will be done or something, that shows unbelief or doubt. But here we have this leper saying, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus actually tells us to pray in his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's even in the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. And so that teaching is incorrect. And so we see this very clearly right here in verse 2. Lord, if you will, if it's your will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if it is against God's rules for you to not say, if you will, I wonder how this leper got healed. Because he said, if you will, you can make me clean. And so it gives us an insight. It gives us a balance to the reality of the healing of Jesus Christ. We just come to him as children. We don't know what he's going to do. But we can just ask and say, Lord, if it's your will, I'm really coming to ask for you. And he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. He wants us to come. And this leper just came and worshiped him. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now Jesus said to him, see thou tell no man, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, there's a certain gift, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, that a person was to bring to the priest to go ahead and fulfill the thankfulness that the leper had in his heart, to bring a gift to the Lord in the temple worship. And Jesus wasn't coming to destroy the law and the prophets, as we read in chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount. He was coming to fulfill. And so he didn't want a great big party thrown for him, because he said that he would heal the man and healed the man. He wanted God to be glorified. We should do our good works before men, that they might see our good works and glorify the Father, God Almighty. And that's what Jesus was about. He wasn't there to blow his own horn. And so he sent the man to the priest to offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them that God does heal, and we should glorify the Father. Now, it's really beautiful and interesting what this gift is that was to be brought. It really speaks of the coming Christ. And it is given to us in a very lovely way in Leviticus. So let's turn to Leviticus now. Keep your hand in Matthew 8 and go back to Leviticus, which is way in the front of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, third book of the Bible, Leviticus. Now, some believe that the book of Leviticus is the most boring book in the entire Bible. And some people, when the pastor gets to Leviticus, they say, you know what? I'm going to watch football for a while, and I'll be back in a few weeks after the pastor's done with Leviticus. But I was really blown away when Pastor Chuck's wife, Kay, said that her favorite book in the Bible is Leviticus. Anybody here say that? I heard her say that one time. And Pastor Steve Jewell, he'll be in here later at 8 o'clock with the youth. They want to come for the healing service also. But he was saying that he's in right now teaching in Numbers, but he went through the book of Leviticus with the youth. Now, who's going to get more bored than the youth, right? Okay, but sometimes they're better than we are as adults. But anyway, they were so blessed with the book of Leviticus because of the things of Jesus Christ that are in there. And I'm going to show you one of them right now in the gift that the healed leprosy victim was to bring to the priest. And so let's look at Leviticus chapter 14, and we're going to read the first seven verses. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper." So the priest has to check it out. See, is this really a healing? And then the priest shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds. Okay, now picture that in your mind. Get two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood. So there's to be some wood involved in this situation. Very small amount of wood because birds are very small. And scarlet, which is bright red, a scarlet color. And hyssop. What is hyssop? Hyssop is a sponge-type plant that's used as a sponge in many situations. Jesus, when he was on the cross, they actually filled, when he said, "I thirst," they filled some hyssop, a sponge-like material, with some vinegar wine, to put up to his lips so that he could take one last drink just before he died. And so the hyssop was present at the cross. And you know that the wood was there, wasn't it? Oh yes, the cross. The wood of the cross. And so we see the cedar wood present here, and the scarlet, the red of the blood of Christ, present at the cross. And we have two birds here, and these three things, the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop. Now, verse 5 says, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed." In an earthen vessel over running water. And so we have the death of one of the birds, and this would represent the death of Christ on the cross. The scarlet present, the wood present, and the hyssop present there at the cross. And the bird was killed over running water. What came out of Jesus when they stuck him in the side with the spear? It was water that came out, mixed with blood. And so we have the scarlet and the water and the one dead bird representing the death of Christ. As for the living bird, which would represent you and I and this leper who has been cleansed and given a new chance at life, as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird itself into the blood. Dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And so this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and how his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and the death there that he faced for us brings us life and life everlasting. And then this beautiful verse 7, and he shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times, God's perfect number of completion, sprinkle that blood upon that leper, and shall pronounce him clean. And then shall you let the living bird loose into the open field. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Those that are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and dipped in the blood of Jesus are let loose into the open field. The Lord has brought us into a broad place, a large place, lots of room to fly. There's an old song by Jamie Owens. It goes like this. I feel like a bird in a golden sky that just learned how to fly. And I love that song. I used to picture that in my mind about the feeling of being born again. I feel like a bird in a golden sky that just learned how to fly. And so this freedom that we see in this sacrifice, this picture of the death of Jesus and the elements present at his cross, evident here in what this sacrifice was to be before the priest. And can't you see in Jesus' mind as he says to the leper, you go to the priest and offer up what's prescribed for you to offer up. And oh, what a testimony to that leper that was healed. And I can just sense the feeling of release in him and the reality of who Jesus really is. What a blessing. What a beautiful thing to see. And so the healing complete with the picture of Jesus. Jesus is all about healing. He's all about, and what he's come to do is to really heal the brokenhearted and to minister deeply this good news of being released in so many ways, and part of it is physical healing. Now, let's go on then to verse 5, and we get another healing, and we learn different things from these different healings about Jesus, the way he heals, how you can't really put him in a box. He's not a tame lion. You're not going to tame Jesus Christ. He does it the way he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And it's all kinds of different ways. Well, I remember that one healing that seemed so strange. The guy that was blind, he spit in his eye. He spit in the mud, rubbed mud in his eye. Here's mud in your eye. But through that, and the doctors say nowadays, they say, what a great thing for Jesus to do. Because those eyes needed moisture. Those eyes needed moisture to be able to blink, and the tear ducts needed to be activated. And Jesus mixed his spit with the mud and put it in the blind man's eyes. And that was a gradual healing, actually, because the man tried to open the eyes, and he says, well, how do you see? He says, I see men like trees walking. So he wasn't quite focused yet. And so applied to again, and then he could see clearly now. He could see clearly. It was a progressive healing. Anybody ever have a progressive healing? Yeah, take a few weeks maybe. God does what he wants, doesn't he? And he does it real good, whatever he does. And he does it just right. And so anyway, let's go on now to verse 5. It says this, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum," now Capernaum is a beautiful seaport, right on the beach. It's awesome. And you can visit Capernaum today, and you can see where Peter's house was, and the synagogue that Jesus first preached in, right there. Can't be more than 50 feet from the water. Beautiful. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him," or begging him. Now a centurion is a Roman soldier who has charge over 100 men. It was a centurion that was in charge of 100 men that actually supervised the crucifixion of Jesus. And that same centurion at the cross said, "Truly, this was the Son of God, and you will see him in heaven." You will see that centurion in heaven, and this one too, because he was a man of great faith. And so this centurion began to beg Jesus, saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy." His servant was paralyzed and grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." What a blessing for Jesus Christ to say, "I'm going to come over to your house right now. I'm going to come to your house," like he did with Zacchaeus. "Come down from that tree, Zacchaeus. I'm going to have lunch with you today." What a blessing to hear that from Jesus, especially if somebody's sick in your household. "I'm going to come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." Verse 8, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, 100 of them. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Well, what a statement to make. He was simply saying to Jesus Christ, "Lord, you don't really need to come to my house. I know better than that. You are God, and you can do anything. All you have to do is say the word, and my servant, so many miles away from us right now, will be healed." This is important information for you to have, especially the way Jesus reacts to this. And let's see the reaction first. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled." He marveled. He's blown away. What's what this guy said? "I'll come over to your house. You don't really need to come. Just speak the word, because I know what it's like to be in command of soldiers and tell them what to do, and they do it. And you can just speak the word. You can just give command, even over the miles, and this will be done." And Jesus begins to marvel at this man's faith. He says, "Truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not even in Israel." Because this guy isn't an Israeli. He's an Italian. He's from the Roman army. It worked his way up through the ranks to become a centurion in the army. He had nothing to do with Israel except to just come and occupy the land because they told him in Rome to come. But Jesus said, "You know what? I haven't found this much faith, not even in the people I was sent to in Israel." Jesus was blown away with this man's faith. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In other words, there were some Israelis that rejected Christ. There were some Israelis that said, "Crucify him, crucify him," and kept that cry in their hearts for their whole lifetime. And they will face hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and not come to the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this man will. This centurion will be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those that God had called so many years ago to become the father of the faith and the father of the nation. But those in the actual nation of Israel whose hearts were not circumcised, whose hearts were not yet the flesh of the heart cut away. But they were looking to the flesh instead of to the things of the Spirit and worshiping the Lord and loving Jesus. And so Jesus invites the centurion to the table. And now, this says so much to us, doesn't it? So much. Number one, you can really make wonderful prayers and have wonderful faith about somebody that's in New York City. New York City? Yes, in New York City. Right here in California. Yes, you can. And Jesus will hear your prayer. Sometimes we hear about family members suffering here, there, anywhere, and we don't have the money to get on a plane and go there. Or we feel bad because we can't be by their side, but the Lord restricts that or whatever. But it doesn't mean God can't go. You know what I'm saying? You just ask the Lord to go comfort that person. You ask the Lord in Jesus' name to minister and to take care. And he can reach across those miles because he's God. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always there. And this centurion knew about that. And then Jesus was blessed with his knowledge. It displayed such great faith. And so what a blessing to know that you can show Jesus your faith. You can show Jesus your faith by simply believing that he can speak the word and help your loved one no matter how far away they are. We know some dear ones that are in Afghanistan. And we can pray for them. And we can trust that God will speak to them on the battlefield. That God will help them with their spiritual nurturing even over there in Afghanistan. And God has done great and mighty things over there. I don't know if you ever got a chance to read the book. You really should read this book if you haven't. It's called In the Presence of My Enemies by Lieutenant Kerry Cash. It's either lieutenant or captain. Is it captain or lieutenant? I'm trying to remember. I believe it's lieutenant. But he worked in the first assault on Kuwait that took place. The troops, the Marines moved into Kuwait. Now, the Marines don't have chaplains. The Navy does. And the Navy provides the chaplains to the Marine Corps. And Lieutenant Kerry Cash was a lieutenant in the Navy and got assigned to a Marine Corps unit, the first unit, into Kuwait. And the things that he saw were just amazing. And he wrote a book about it. It was so good. They were selling it at Costco, of all places. You could buy this book at Costco. And the stories that are in there, there was this one, I'll just give a couple of them to you. There were four guys in a Humvee. That's the way they travel. Four guys in a Humvee. And those are armor-plated, strong cars. But if you get hit with one of those Sidewinder missiles at close range, that will blow up your Humvee. It usually kills all the men inside. Well, they're going down a back street in Baghdad. They reach Baghdad. And this guy jumps out from behind a building with one of those missiles. And everybody goes, and he fires his missile straight at him. And there's this huge explosion, as you can imagine. And they all wake up a little while later. And they're feeling themselves going, I'm okay. I'm okay. And sometimes soldiers do that. They think they're okay, but then they die. So the guy that was in riding shotgun was looking at the driver. And he's looking and he's going, I'm okay. I'm okay. But he's thinking, no, he's not okay. He's going to die any second now, you know. But they were all okay. And you know what the long and short of it is? They had a Bible together. They were all strong Christians and they had a Bible that they all read together. And they kept it in the middle of the Humvee. And when anybody thought, you know, I think I want to look up a verse right now for us, he'd grab the Bible and look up the verse and read it. They were that much into it. They weren't into the macho thing, the big pride deal. They were into, we love God, we're proud of it, and we're going to read about him, and his book's going to be right in the midst of us. And you know, not one of those guys died in that explosion. And it turned out what happened is the missile hit the side of the car, the door, and blew into that, but the explosion went outward and knocked the windshields out. But everyone in the car just had the wind knocked out of them, and that was it. God spared those guys. And they say it was the Word of God. How the Word of God was with them and in them and through them. Another guy, and this, I love this one. A guy was standing and reading Psalm 91, and a bullet hit his helmet. And the bullet went through his helmet, and it got to where his head is, but it went on a certain angle because it hit the metal of his helmet. And went up inside of his helmet, around his head, and out the other side. That's a hard one to swallow, I know. But it's in the book, and this guy was experiencing things firsthand. Just all these things. And it's a book to get and read, because it would really edify and build you up about the power of God. And so Lieutenant Kerry Cash, or Captain Kerry Cash, I really can't remember what the title was, but he ended up baptizing people in Saddam Hussein's pool at Saddam Hussein's palace. And so all of this devilish stuff coming out of Saddam Hussein, and what happens? In his pool where he worked out, people are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that cool? Oh, that's cool. I loved this book. Anyway, there you go. And God's power, God's ability. And so there you go. So I was talking about centurion, and so I wanted to tell you about that. Now, also, more than, well, in addition to knowing that you can reach across the miles through asking Jesus Christ for help, you can see that Jesus Christ is interested in every human being on the earth. The very Roman soldiers that put him on the cross, he was reaching out to. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so the centurion at the cross was saved. The centurion here, as he came and worshiped Jesus, Jesus accepted that worship and healed his servant the very hour that he said he would do it. Because it says, let's read verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, just let it be done to you. Jesus was so happy to do that. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And don't you know, he checked it out when he got home. So what hour were you healed? Well, this hour. That's when he spoke. They must have just worshiped the Lord. Now, let's go on to our third healing tonight before we pray. It says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, again, that's in that seaport village of Capernaum. Peter lived there, his brother Andrew. And Jesus came into the house, and he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. She was not feeling good. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Boy, it can happen that quick. It can happen that quick. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. I remember a time when I was to be at a Bible study and teach, and I had a really bad cold with a fever. It's the kind of thing where your head just throbbing, you know? And I was trying to decide whether to go or not. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me that I should go and I was going to be healed. And so I just went. I went to the Bible study. I couldn't wait to get there because I was going to have all the Bible study people lay hands on me and pray for me. And you know, it really happened. I got to the Bible study, and I said, I've been waiting to get here. Can you guys lay hands on me right now? I've got this terrible headache and a fever and all. And they laid hands on me, and I actually felt the heat leave my body. It just went, and where it went, I know not where, and I really don't care. It was gone. God healed me, and I was able to teach that study with fervor. In the name of Jesus. Well, this happened to Peter's mom. He just put his hand on her, and the fever went bye-bye. His mother, yeah, he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose And she felt so good, she ministered to them. And you know, I always picture this, like my grandmother. I'd love to share about Nana. Man, could she make a roast beef. And I just imagine that she went out to the kitchen and ministered to them. Whipped up a big roast beast or something, you know, and came out with potatoes and whatever. It's just a beautiful story. Now, when the evening was come, and this is where we get into this massive picture of what Jesus was doing with so many people. He loves everybody. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Anybody that was sick, he healed them. That's what he did. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He's the one that took upon himself our sicknesses and our infirmities. Now, he's quoting here, Matthew's quoting here from Isaiah 53, verse 4. And I just wanted to end tonight, before we start praying, with the verses there, because they tell us some neat things about the healing power of Jesus Christ and also about his will to really minister to us individually. And so let's turn to Isaiah 53 and look at these two verses, 4 and 5 of Isaiah 53, and then we're done with what we wanted to do in the Word tonight. Isaiah 53. And verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 say this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, because he did die that death. And it was God that sent him into that, to do that. He prayed to the Father, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Please, Lord, I don't want to go to the cross, is what he was saying. But if there's no other way to save the people, not my will, but your will be done. And so he was smitten of God and afflicted. We did esteem him or notice him stricken. But, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. That's why he went to the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him because of the punishment that he took on the cross. That's how come we can feel great peace in our hearts. Because the punishment of being absent or having peace absent from our lives was put upon him. That you and I could feel that tremendous peace that you can cut with a knife, that we experience, and you can't figure out why you're experiencing. How come you deserve that peace that passes understanding? But you can't figure it only at the cross. Because of the cross, that peace comes upon us. And then the last part of that, and this is quoted in the New Testament also, and with his stripes, that's the beating he took, the cat of nine tails, the whip that he was whipped with pieces of bone and metal in it, 39 lashes. With those stripes, we are healed. We are healed. We are healed by his stripes. Pastor Chuck shares this testimony, and I've never heard anything better about this scripture, and I want to pass it on to you for those that haven't heard it yet. Is that Pastor Chuck understood the cross. Jesus, you died on the cross, you took our sins upon yourself. But why did you have to face the beating? They beat you until you were unrecognizable as a man. Why the beating? Why did God allow you to be beat to a bloody pulp? And they were on that guy's case. Who's the guy that did the Passion of the Christ? Mel Gibson. They were on his case for making it such a bloody event. But the thing is that the truth of it is that Mel Gibson held back on really showing it like it's taught in the ancient writings and in the Bible, because he was just left a bloody pulp, unrecognizable as a man through the beatings before he died on the cross. Why, Lord? Why did you have to add the beating to the cross? It's because in his beating, by his stripes, we are healed. Every time he heals you of an earache, every time he heals you of a headache, every time he heals you of a knee bothering you, it's because of his stripes. Because he took those stripes for that reason. And he is totally wrapped up with concern for you. Never think Jesus doesn't care in any pain you suffer. He took so much on the cross and so much before the cross in order to remedy that pain and to bring the healing to you. So with that, we just want to come and ask the Lord tonight for healings. And I'd like to read you a New Testament scripture that he makes available for us in the healing process. So I'm going to turn to James. Here we are gathered as the Church of Jesus tonight. The elders are here, and I've asked them to come, and we've brought the oil. And it says this in James chapter 5, and let's read it together. We're going to take a look at it. James chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. And it says this: if any are sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, what a beautiful verse of forgiving sin. Forgiving sin, washing clean from any sin that's been committed, and also bring that healing touch, raising up the sick. And the prayer of faith, to really believe, really come expecting the Lord to move upon your life. And we can say, as another person said in the Bible to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And just ask for a little, push the help button on that, to just believe him that he will touch your body or your emotions, your soul, and bring healing for you. And if he says to you, my grace is sufficient for you, then we begin to just thank him. Thank him for the infirmity, whatever he allows us to go through. But oh, we're here for healing tonight. We want to come expectant, and we want to come believing that he can do it. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. All the time? Amen.